Dave Pagnotta from the fourth period joins us. Dave, if it was true that he had asked for only 40, I say only, but obviously in NHL terms, only 45 over 7, the Habs would have signed that easily.
The Habs would have given him an extra $5 million just to say, thanks, man, you're really nice today. All right, here's a few more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening. No, I expect him to get at least $8 million a year. And I say at least, that could probably be the final figure, but eight and a quarter. They'll start probably somewhere closer to $9 million a year. I don't think it'll hit that number off the bat, but talks will kind of started getting underway today, just formal discussions back and forth. It hasn't really entered the serious stratosphere yet, just some back and forth. I'm not sure where that report came from, but they haven't even really gotten serious yet.
No. Joe Thornton rumors, a lot of them out there. Do you think there's any way he moves waives his no movement clause?
Nope, not simple answer is no. Not this year, anyway. Not this summer, especially. He's not going anywhere. Any trade rumors you hear involving Joe Thornton, you can pretty much dismiss. Teams may be calling, but first of all, if the Sharks are serious about moving him right now, they might want to let him know. They haven't done that. He's got a no-movement clause. He's got to have a say as to where he ends up if the Sharks try to trade him. They haven't done that yet. I would be shocked if Joe Thornton waives his no-trade. I would be beyond shocked if he waives his no-movement clause this summer. He'll be back with San Jose, and you can pretty much guarantee it for next season. Now, Patrick Marleau, on the other hand, different story. I would not be surprised whatsoever if he ends up getting traded, and I think that's the plan for the San Jose Sharks right now. They're not going to move Joe Thornton, but a guy like Patty Marleau, who has a no-movement clause, but they've met already and discussed possible movement, that's a lot more realistic than a guy like Joe Thornton.
Why would Thornton, let's say San Jose actually contemplated and was listening to offers, would Joe Thornton say, well, if the team doesn't want me, I don't want to be here?
Nope, not at all. I've had this discussion already with a number of people close to Joe Thornton, with some of his teammates. Joe Thornton's a very team-oriented individual. He's a very, very, I'm fishing for the word right now, but he's a guy that plays for his teammates, more so than a GM or a coach. So he believes in the team, he believes in the group and the players that he has in front of him. I would be, like I said, surprised, even if Doug Wilson, their GM, came to him and said, hey, we want to trade you, which that would be a whole other discussion, but hey, we really want to trade you, would you consider it? His answer, I can pretty much guarantee right now, would be no. I just don't see it happening. Joe Thornton's a different kind of individual when it comes to that. If the team doesn't want him, well, unless he's completely taken out of the equation is playing 2 minutes a game, then it's a bit of a different story in that respect, but he'll be back with San Jose next year.
Dave Pagnotta joins us. Dave, if the Evander Kane rumors heated up again, there's a lot of talk. Maybe they're contemplating. Man, this is a young player. He's only 22 years of age. Skates great. He's got an edge. He's physical. Has he been a little immature off the ice? Sure. But a lot of guys have. To me, the Winnipeg Jets trade him. I think the list of teams interested would be rather lengthy. What would Winnipeg need in return for that trade to make sense?
They would need a first-line guy. They would need somebody who is either already a first-line player or somebody who's about to become a first-line player, maybe a year away or something to that effect, as part of a package for Evander Kane. This goes back to last draft when Montreal and Philadelphia knocked on the door and asked Jets GM Kevin Cheveldayoff what the asking price for a guy like Evander Kane might be. They kicked the tires again throughout the season. A few other teams inquired. And we're obviously hearing that there are some teams that are still available, still interested in Evander Kane right now, trying to see if he's available and what that price tag would be. But it's going to be a hefty price. You put him on a roster with players that can complement his style. The guy's a 35, 40-goal scorer consistently. So if a team is interested in acquiring a guy like Evander Kane, you're going to have to pay a premium for him because of his age, his contract, and the type of player that he is. But for Winnipeg, Kane isn't the only guy that could end up moving. They're not actively shopping everybody, but if a team asks about Andrew Ladd again or Blake Wheeler or Zach Bogosian, these are players that are certainly part of the core in Winnipeg right now, but they're guys that if the right hockey deal becomes available to Cheboldayoff, he will consider it.
Like, what direction are the Jets in? Are they kind of in limbo? Do they know where they're going as an organization?
It's tough to say. The mindset was a bit of a rebuild mode mid-season when they made their coaching change. And when everybody started to click under Paul Maurice and buy into his system, the mindset changed a little bit where they didn't want to rebuild. They don't want to rebuild, but they want to bring in some pieces and some guys that can complement the style of Paul Maurice. They got some young kids coming up. They've got, you know, Trouba and a very sound defense that's only going to get better. So now it's a matter of figuring out what they want to do between the pipes.
Yeah, that's the.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that to me is more important than what they've got up front. They've got the firepower up front. Whether they trade Kane or not, they're going to need somebody to replace that. But Andre Pavlovic has been a big question mark for the Jets, and ultimately they need to decide what they want to do. But, you know, in goal, I heard some report that they're going to go after Ryan Miller. They might as well save their time and effort. He's not going to go to Winnipeg, but somebody else, would they trade maybe for a guy like Antti Niemi, who is available out of San Jose? Maybe they go after another free agent who might become available and try to platoon them for the next season and go from there. This is a more serious question the Jets need to figure out than what kind of offer they may get for Evander Kane.
What are you hearing on Cam Ward? Can he bounce back, or how much concern is there for his hip injuries?
Hey, I don't think there's a concern about his hip anymore. I think it's just Carolina, and this goes back to middle of the season. They explored the market on Ward mid-season. They wanted to make sure they had Anton Khudobin locked up to an extension. They obviously have him signed to two years. They're talking to Justin Peters, who's a UFA, to try to get him locked up again. If they can trade Cam Ward, and maybe that's an option for Winnipeg as well, but if they can find a suitor for him, they would gladly move him. That $6.3 million cap hit is definitely not favorable for Carolina right now. And I would not be surprised at all if in the next few days or week or so, if they find out that the market is just – that there is no market for Evander Kane because of his contract, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Carolina seriously contemplates a compliance buyout on him.
Really?
Yeah. They're going in a different direction between the pipes. They want to have Khudobin as their guy. If they can't trade Cam Ward right now, then you've got to look at an alternative. And if you have an opportunity to save $6.3 million against your salary cap, and they got the money to do it, and they can pay him and bring in some other assets, that's something that I'm hearing. It could very well be an option if they find that the trade market, that it just is non-existent for him because of that salary. If they want to take in some salary back in return, that's a different conversation. But it's looking less and less likely that Cam Ward will be in a Hurricanes jersey come September.
Well, what about their coach? We're hearing, you know, a lot of the guys that we know, they were down to six in Florida and Pittsburgh's asked for. And Carolina's been very hush in the coaching market, other than we do know that Todd Nelson from the Edmonton Oilers organization has interviewed for that job. Do you think they go with an experienced coach, or would they go with a first-time NHL guy like Nelson?
I wouldn't be surprised if they go with the first-time guy. The other guy that they're looking at is Ulf Samuelsson, who's an assistant with the New York Rangers. They have requested permission to speak with him. They've been granted it. And I believe sometime later this week, they'll be chatting with Samuelsson. He obviously has a relationship with Ron Francis from their playing days in Pittsburgh. So I add him as a candidate for the position as well. And John Stevens is the assistant with the Los Angeles Kings, is a guy that I don't know if they've gotten permission yet, but they'll certainly be seeking that, try to talk to him. After, you know, he's been a major factor in the team's specialty teams for the Los Angeles Kings, and one of the reasons why their power play and their PK has been so sound for them. So and Carolina won't be the only team, but those are two other names that I certainly hear Ron Francis would love to talk to.
Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period joins us. Dave, a few quick ones. As far as free agents go, Anton Stralman's a guy we've discussed here in this show. What number do you does he get close to $5 million? And what do you think Alex Hemsky gets on the market?
I think Stralman gets somewhere in the neighborhood of $4.5 to $5 million. The biggest thing for him is term. He wants to, wherever he ends up, if he stays in New York or if he ends up in a different market, he wants a long-term deal, whether it's a 6-7 year deal. He wants to be in a position where he can solidify his playing future for the next little bit and kind of go from there and allow his family to be solidified as well in wherever they end up, if it's New York or elsewhere. And as for Alex Hemsky, that's a tricky one because he's not going back to Ottawa. The Senators are doing a whole revamp. They're not going to be re-signing Milan Mihalik either. So there are going to be a few pieces that are available. He's a complimentary piece to a lot of different contenders out there. He's not your prototypical goal scorer. He's a setup guy. He's a playmaker. He's probably going to be taking a bit of a pay cut. Something around $4 million might be on a shorter deal so that he can prove that his short stint with the Senators and with Jason Spezza wasn't a bit of a fluke. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in and around that figure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think he's especially, and I think he signs in the Eastern Conference. I think his game is much more suited to the Eastern Conference rather than playing in the bigger banging West.
Yeah, I agree. A team like Tampa Bay might be a suitable spot for him with the young offensive guys they've got there.
Wow.
Bring in another complimentary piece, a playmaker type.
Mm-hmm.
That might work out pretty well for the Lightning.
Oh yeah, he could easily be the disher for Stamkos.
Yeah, among others.
Yeah. Well, he's just a guy. He'd always rather pass than shoot the puck, so that might be a good fit. One last one for you. As far as compliance buyouts go, Ville Leino's done. Booth is done. Is there anybody? Cam Ward was kind of a surprise to me. Do you think there's any others that might surprise people here in the next 12 days?
Detroit's trying to figure out what they want to do with Johan Franzen, and he's up there in age. He's got a lot of term left on his deal. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Wings decide to use a compliance buyout on him. They don't have a lot of cap space, so if they can free up $4 or $5 million bucks for him, who's been a bit of a disappointment the last couple of seasons for the Red Wings, hasn't been able to get back to where he was when they won the Stanley Cup and then lost to Pittsburgh those back-to-back seasons. I think he might be another name we start to hear a little bit more of in the next 48 hours or so, if the Wings decide to go in that direction. They're still waiting to see what happens with Daniel Alfredsson if he wants to come back. But even outside of that, they're very limited cap wise. And if Kenny Holland wants to fix that blue line as much as he says he does, and believes that the team does, then freeing up that extra cash might not be a bad thing, especially with all the kids the Wings have coming up in the system that are ready to make their mark on the roster next season.
Dave, always good to talk to you. The next few weeks should be very enjoyable. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds good, buddy. We'll talk soon.